6 years ago, Southern Humboldt County property owners reported being falsely accused, hamstringed, and extorted by county code enforcement officials, and they were afraid of losing their rural homes as a result. Humboldt County has now agreed to a sweeping settlement over how it enforces cannabis-related code violations, and one of the people who fought this the hardest and the longest was Blue Graham, a Southern Humboldt business owner and a grower of vegetables. The lawsuit was filed by the Institute of Justice back in October of 2022 on behalf of 5 Humboldt County property owners who said that the county's cannabis abatement program violated their constitutional rights. After years of litigation, including a trip to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and a request to the U.S. Supreme Court, the county has now agreed to change how it enforces the program and to pay $350,000 towards the plaintiff's expenses and legal fees. One of those plaintiffs is Blue Graham, who's lived through this fight since 2018. Graham says it started the day he came home to find not one abatement notice, but 3.
I came home after working at our restaurant that we had just opened 2 weeks earlier to find not one abatement notice, but 3 abatement notices posted to my gate. One was for my property, mm-hmm. and 2 were for neighboring properties. So there was 3 abatement letters on my gate at the same time.
The notices were based on satellite images that the county had collected of his land over the period of 6 years.
In my letter, they had satellite pictures of my property from 2012 till when I got abated in 2018. None of the pictures showed any sort of cannabis on them, but it was alleged that I graded, that I built structures with intent to cultivate cannabis, and that I had cannabis in my structures.
Graham had built greenhouses for his own vegetable garden to supply his restaurant. That did not stop code enforcement investigators from assuming that he was growing cannabis.
So I went and talked with Brian Bose, and they showed me these pictures, and I said, well, where's the cannabis? And he said, well, you're not just growing asparagus in these structures, which is actually kind of interesting because months later, John Ford was on KMUD News and said, these people aren't just growing asparagus in these structures. So I don't know if it was something they all talked about, this asparagus line. I don't really know. But it was verbatim what Brian Bose told me.
The program Graham is describing is what the county calls the Humboldt Environmental Impact Reduction Program. Code enforcement staff used satellite imagery to flag suspected cannabis grow sites, greenhouses, ponds, and grading that they believed was related to cannabis cultivation. Those are violations which could carry penalties of up to $10,000 per violation per day. With multiple alleged violations on any single property, threatened fines could reach into the millions very quickly. Graham says he refused to sign the county's compliance agreement, a document that he explains would have waived his rights to sue.
And they gave me this compliance agreement to sign, which literally took all my rights as a property owner away from me. If I were to sign that and hand it back to them that day, I can't sue them. They could, if I don't pay them the money that they want from me, they could take my property, my vehicles.
What followed was years of back and forth.
So I got the permits, I put my greenhouses back up and continued my life for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Somewhere during the negotiations with Ed Denson and them, they said they're not going to settle me because I still have my greenhouses up. He said, well, he's got a permit for it. Well, there's no way that's possible. Go check Mr. Black, Mr. Warren Black. He did, and then he came back and said we did give him his permits. So they were just looking for any excuse. They didn't care if he went and did it legally.
Years later, the county came after him again, this time over a pond he'd built for fire protection.
So I come home from another hike, and there's a whole new abatement on my gate. And this abatement was for a violation of grading. No cannabis, no structures. Violation of grading. I had already told him, yes, I graded. I put in a rain catchment pond, basically for firefighting and emergency water on my property. So I had already admitted to grading. And I said, let's resolve that. I'm willing to resolve it, but not this cannabis thing. So then Warren Black started calling me directly. I had a lawyer at this point. Like, you're not supposed to contact me. Contact my lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a hearing, something that I'd been asking for 5 years. Give me a hearing. No. So I had never had a hearing. I had all this pressure on me, but now they have this grading situation where they're like, you had already admitted to this, so we got you, and here's your hearing date. But we don't really want to do that, sir. We just want you to come forward and sign the compliance agreement, and we'll work with you on the grading. So I finally, thanks to Michelle Bushnell, got a meeting with John Ford, who I had emailed. I had asked for to talk to him through Warren Black and other people, and every time it was like, no, he's busy. No, we're the ones dealing with this. Finally, Michelle Bushnell got a meeting with him, and as soon as he saw that engineer report from 4 years earlier that I presented 4 years earlier, he said, oh, no, we're resolving this today. And we resolved it that day.
2 days after Graham's individual case was finally resolved, the Institute for Justice attorneys filed its federal lawsuit. That was dismissed in 2023. The plaintiffs appealed, and in December of 2024, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated their claim that the county's fines may have violated the Constitution's ban on excessive fines.
I mean, we had so much evidence to present. I kind of wish the case would have kept going, because I'm pretty disappointed with the fact the county is basically trying to act like they did no wrong to us. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? We did. We hired... We took your tax dollars, because I'm a tax-paying citizen, I'm a business owner, I'm a landowner, I pay taxes to Humboldt County. We took your money, and we hired someone to look at you with a satellite, and we decided to charge you what we assume $30,000 a day for something that we assume you're doing without any evidence, without ever coming to your property. Sheriff's never been on my property, a warrant's never been served. And that's just the way it is. You're going to have to prove your innocence. We don't have to prove your guilt. There's a few of us that said, hell no, you know, take my property, but I'm not going to stand for this.
I spoke with Jared McLean, senior attorney with the Institute of Justice, who represents the group. In an email, McLean told me, if we could prove the county had been enforcing its code the way we alleged, then it would violate the Constitution 4 different ways. It doesn't matter now that the county decided to settle, but we're confident that we would have proved those constitutional violations at trial, he said. I asked Graham whether he thought Southern Humboldt communities get treated differently by county officials than the rest of the county.
Well, we're all guilty by association. It's kind of funny because we know the history of Southern Humboldt. If you grew up around here like I did, and your parents were maybe hippies or back to landers or whatever you want to call them, we were all guilty by association as a kid. And we all got persecuted by police and helicopters for our whole childhood, our whole neighborhoods. They'd come in with machine guns, stand on our roads in front of our schools. But because maybe it started here and we were those hippie kids, yeah, we're still the ones getting persecuted. But guilty by association. You're not just growing asparagus in those greenhouses. But these other guys up here, they're good old boys. They're ranchers. So they must just be growing veggies in theirs. Because at the end of the day, you did not know what these people were doing on their property. You assumed what they were doing on their property. And you based these fines and these penalties based on your assumptions. All right? So the same helicopters and guys with guns that terrorized neighborhoods when I was a kid, even they respected the Constitution. They couldn't see what was in your structure. They didn't assume what was in there. They left it alone and moved on. The county didn't do that. They didn't respect people's rights. And that's what this whole lawsuit came down to.
For Graham, he explains the fight was never just about his property.
But this is my home. I was born and raised here. That's the thing. I've helped my mother help build this community. I've helped build this community. And so that's the reason that keeps me here. I love it. I love my home. I love where I live. I'm making breakfast right now out of food from my garden, from the very greenhouses they abated me for, that I got the permit put right back up in their face and said, yeah, what else? Let's go. I'm not going nowhere.
Under the agreement, the county must now send a warning letter before issuing any formal notice of a cannabis-related violation. This giving property owners 30 days to prove that cannabis isn't being grown before a citation is ever filed. New property owners can no longer be held responsible for a previous owner's cannabis activity unless cultivation continues for more than 30 days after they take title. And if someone requests a hearing, the county now has to schedule one within 60 days, a sharp change from the years-long waits that Graham and others had described. McLean told me that the warning letter requirement will likely have the broadest impact because it applies to anyone the county accuses going forward. Still, the county has not admitted any wrongdoing.
But understand this, the actions of the county has made our county poor, broke, and struggling. They killed the goose with the golden egg illegally and with the abatement program. All the people I know that went legal, except for maybe a couple, they're struggling. So they're not hiring people. They're not spending money very much at the stores. They're not going and buying the new truck at the dealership for their farm.
The settlement closes a chapter that K-Mud News and Redheaded Black Belt first began documenting 6 years ago. Whether it changes how the county treats property owners going forward is something Blue Graham and many of his neighbors say they will be watching closely. For K-Mud News, I'm Ryan Hudson.